Lucy, I'm home.
Hello and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Siva.
And I'm Erica.
And today we're going to be talking about The Marriage License, season one, episode 26. I could have sworn we did 25.
Well, we did.
A while ago.
Oh.
I remember it must have been 20 that we broke, that I was like, woo, yeah. We got to 20. Anyways.
I think what you're trying to say is by now we should have had 25 more.
We should be way past 25 more. Yeah. No.
That's okay. Our content is special. Go on.
Special, just like us.
Wow.
Aired April 7th, 1952. It was directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed February 28th, 1952. And before we even get into any of this, this is the very first episode ever on any television show to be viewed by 10 million people.
10 million homes. Well,
so it could be even more than 10 million people.
That is astonishing for 1950s television. Perhaps because there wasn't much of a variety to choose from. It's not like today where you have all the streaming and hundreds of cable channels, but that's really
also that many televisions.
Or that many televisions in the US. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Synopsis. Okay, so synopsis. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Lucy is cleaning up. She finds her marriage license. It has a misprint on it. And Ricky thinks that it'd be funny to trick her. And so Lucy thinks the wedding's null and void and makes him redo the whole thing. We will talk about what I dislike and do like about
this. Oh, I'm sure.
Soon.
I'm sure.
This episode was based on one of my favorite husbands. It's called Marriage License Error, and it aired January 21st, 1949. And also anniversary, April 6th, 1950.
So
I know that sometimes they combine episodes. And even if you listen through some of the My Favorite Husbands, you'll find that one of those episodes are split and expanded to make two I Love Lucy episodes, which is cool.
That's really cool, because it's like we've mentioned countless times, they already had a huge catalog of episodes, so they could have just tweaked it a variety of ways.
Or it must have been nice, it's still a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been nice to have we're a really struggling point. Coming up with something for this week. Yeah. Let's go to this and expand or whatever. So
like you mentioned, it starts off with her emptying out the drawer, which
she's cleaning.
I think we all have a drawer. I have a drawer.
One? Just one?
Well, one in the kitchen. It's a junk drawer where we throw everything in, and we can never, it's to find things quickly, and yet we can never find the things quickly. So yeah, I do sometimes empty it out and then do the same thing.
So many.
Yeah.
So many. Have you ever watched Speechless?
No. What is that?
Oh, it's this really good TV show. It's about this boy with cerebral palsy. He can't speak very well. And his mom is just she goes on the warpath for him. Right. Mm-hmm. But there's this one episode way down where one of the guys is talking about how horrible the house is, and he's
dirty?
Just like junk drawer, junk drawer, and junk drawer. And he just keeps going junk refrigerator. And it's just so funny. I was like, that's my house.
Great. That's really great.
But do you clean like Lucy?
Yes.
Because her cleaning is getting rid of nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that. I was like, and then I'll be looking, and on days when I'm not actually cleaning, I'll be like, my gosh, that's junk. I should get rid of that.
Yeah.
And then the day that I sit down and clean it, I go, I can't get rid of that.
My husband is less attached to things. So he'll just
throw it all out.
Yeah. I'm like, it's a childhood photo of you. Take another.
I don't care.
What? Meanwhile, I've got ticket stubs from a movie of 5 years ago. I'm like, oh.
Yes. Listen, I have scrapbooks from my childhood where they're ticket stubs and when we went to Disney World and things that, and that's really cool to look back. So we'll probably do one for Apollo.
So much like you're mentioning, Ethel comes in and she finds this
what is that thing?
Like a fence.
Did you find it? I looked it out. But I could not figure out what it was.
I
couldn't tell.
I should have thought of that. I could have just Google imaged it. But
well, I tried and nothing.
So it looks like no, it's not even a part of a fence, is it? Because that wouldn't make sense. I was
like, maybe it's like a note holder. You could put it on your desk, right?
Or you could nail it to the, yeah, hang it to the wall. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's something that like, I was just thinking because it had like the little feet on it. So I thought maybe not on the wall, but who knows?
This is
if anyone knows what it is, please tell us. We'll put it out like, on our story.
What is this and what is it used for? So she's like, don't you throw nothing away, woman? And she's, you know, no, because she's a sentimental person who finds, you know, a memory and everything, which I think is endearing. It's sweet, but it also can be easily, it can take over your home. You so become
your
a hoarder
very like episode easy. Of Hoarders.
Yes. And so, you know, you got to really pay attention to what you're doing. But she
like
says,
you need someone like our husbands that are like, throw it out.
Yeah. And I have a feeling my husband sometimes does that when I'm not around.
My husband cleaned up the office and I was like, did he get rid of things?
See, and here's the thing though, you'll never know what it is because you never use it. That's bad. Okay. So she's saying, you know, she finds the marriage license, which she says changed her name to Ricardo. And she says, oh, that's sweet. She says, yes, I'm sticky over Ricky, which is really cute.
I can't do that.
Why is that?
Because I'm cooling over call it. Like, there's nothing that...
You're balling over call it.
No, that doesn't work.
Oh, you're falling for Colin. She says, on the marriage license, on this day, Lucille Esmeralda McGillicuddy was married to Ricky Bacardi. Listen, I can do Spanish. I can do Esmeralda, but I can't do
McGillicuddy.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Married to Ricky Bacardi.
I do the English on this podcast.
By the way,
we had a comment, guys. It was based off of a comment.
It was just the one time Spanish. By the way, if anybody speaks Spanish, would like to hear that. It's just a one time Desi Arnaz biography in Spanish, and someone asked. I wish this was in English.
Don't say one time. You could probably figure out something else to do in Spanish.
Yeah, that's true.
Talk about how crazy I am. But anyways.
This is biography on Ziva in Spanish.
No.
Okay, Bacardi, of course, it's a nod to the rum Bacardi, but the way she spells it and pronounces it is Bacardi with an I. I'm not sure why they did that, perhaps for the reason that Bacardi is an actual brand. But you kind of know someone who's attached. Brand, right? You know the guy attached to the brand. Of course, we're referring to the connections that Desi Arnaz has to the Bacardi rum factory. Now, keep in mind, we've discussed this many times in the Desi Arnaz biographies that we've done, and recently in the Spanish one that I did. I mean, the lap of luxury that he lived in Cuba before the revolution, not only, you know, with his father being the youngest mayor and all that, but his mother's connection to the owners and founders of the Bacardi rum factory is just astounding. I mean, so much money going in the entire family. So that's kind of, I think, a nod to Desi Arnaz that he's part of that family.
I mean, even later she says, you know, she feels like she's wondering if she's marrying a rum company or something.
Rum
like
factory.
That, you know, mm-hmm. So yeah.
By the way, I have gone to the rum factory, Bacardi rum factory in Puerto Rico. It's like off of an island. It's really strange, but it's huge and off of an island. Yeah.
I've been nowhere.
I don't even drink. So I didn't appreciate it. Wine tasting is.
Lucy's freaking out.
By the way, she goes from 0 to 60 really quick from that.
She does. She does. But I feel like if you don't know the answer, which guys is, if it's a clerical mistake, they're right. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Oh, not a get out of jail free card.
That's suggesting that marriage is jail, Ziva. Do you want
to
talk about
Fred and Ricky
about something? I mean, we can talk later after the show.
Talk later. Like spill.
Yes. No. So she's concerned about what this means. It must mean we're not legally married. It must mean, you know, he's not really my husband and I'm a single woman. Oh my God, the world's falling apart. So, you know, she starts to cry as she's wont to do. And Ricky comes home to this erratic scene. I mean, he thinks he's coming home to normalcy, which by now you should know he's not.
Never.
Ever. And so Ethel's there and she's like, well, she's off on another one. Good luck, Mr. Bacardi. And, you know, that's the reference to the marriage license. And he's like, what the heck is happening? What does she mean by that? And why are you crying? What's going on?
Yeah, I just thought, I wonder where my marriage license is. So, I'm not paying him to be my husband.
So, wow. That's a good turn.
I mean, that's what when you said it to me. I was like, to prove it? What do you mean?
Could be the other way around. Okay. Now, she explains to him, look at the license. You know, he reads it once. It doesn't catch it. Reads it again.
Yeah, he reads it because he doesn't read it, right? Like he says. Yeah.
He assumes he
knows the names
properly,
right?
What it's going to say. And then he reads Bacardi like, oh, okay, that's what Ethel meant. And he says, it says Bacardi. Does it mean it's expired? That's hilarious. That's great writing right there. Because it just, you know.
Don't tell me it's expired.
Yeah. You have to renew our license. Renew the license.
Oh, if you had to renew your license.
For marriage,
well, that might cut down on the number of divorces.
Can you imagine
if you only had to do like 3 or 4 years, right?
Do it sounds like you're talking about jail time,
guys. I'm very happy in my marriage. I really am. I just feel like I need to throw that out there. But I'm trying to get into the mindset of this episode where Ricky really, like, in all seriousness. Ricky really makes this out to be like so annoying to him. And then like he decides, and we'll talk about this later, but then he decides to play a trick on her when he knows how, like, we'll talk about it. But like, yeah. I am trying to like think of like, and Fred always makes jokes about how like, and he'll tell this joke later about how he looked to see if there was a mistake.
Error. On his, he was hoping that there was.
That dang clerk got it right.
So
you know, so
she calls, I'm guessing, City Hall. Right. Mm-hmm. And she's just trying to inquire, what do I do? There's a problem on my license. And they're like, what do you mean call the tail waggers? Which that is referring to the tail waggers, which is, I'm supposing, a group within City Hall.
Animal welfare organization. It was founded in 1929.
And Betty Davis was the first president of its Southern California branch. And it still operates today, which is the Tail Waggers Foundation. And that's what they were referring her to, that because they think she's looking for a dog license. And so Fred comes in, you know, she kind of loses it again and cries. And Fred comes in with his own marriage license because Ethel told him the story as to what's going on, you know, in Lucy's.
Yeah. Oh, apartment. Well, Lucy's going down to City Hall to make sure that it's right, because she has to, they won't tell her over the phone. Right. She has to show it to them. So that's why she leaves, and that's why Ricky, it's long enough for Ricky to take a nap, and that's when Fred comes in. Yeah, what do you?
You're just gonna let her go by herself downtown for a long time.
Oh yeah, he's got a good nap. He gets a break from the craziness, right?
And then Fred comes in with his own license and kind of unhappy that his is actually legal and the names were correct. Unfortunately,
what I'm saying.
I thought I could worm out on a technicality. He says, and he's just always dissatisfied with his marriage.
So then Fred mentions that he. Well, Ricky mentions that Lucy's gone to City Hall, and Fred mentions that he has a friend at City Hall, and that's it. That's all Fred does. But Ricky decides then that it would be super duper funny.
Why? I don't understand.
Duper funny to make Lucy believe that their marriage isn't real. And
because that's always like, funny. Okay,
she's right. She's being extra. Yes. But you can tell that she's genuinely worried and concerned.
See, I don't call it extra. I would say more like fragile. She's in a fragile state and you're just going to add to it.
Yeah, she's being fragile. Yeah.
My gosh. I mean, no, I'm trying to say,
I was just talking about like the 1 to 20 or the like 1 to 100 we were talking about, how she like that was extra.
But now, then, why add to it when she's already in a fragile state of mind? Let's make her even more upset.
Right, exactly. He knows how upset she is. And then he's like, oh, let's joke about it because that's funny. Like, how do you think she's going to take it?
But if you notice, even Fred kind of looks like, really, you want to do that? Like, why? You know, his face wasn't on board. If you watch his reaction.
He didn't just like jump in and go, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so he says he has a friend down there. Tell your friend to tell Lucy when she gets there that we aren't really married and it's no longer, that it's not valid at all. So, of course, he does that.
And then what did he expect to have? Like, he's so worried that she hasn't come back by 9 o'clock. And I went, well, what did you expect? I mean,
the woman
you don't expect someone to go missing, but like, did you expect her to come home right away all cheery and... Yeah. You know,
so she, you know, comes back thinking that they're not married and he feels, you know, well, she explains that she was she walking?
I was gonna say, don't just jump over this.
Yeah. Yeah. So she
I've got some.
She explains that she went over to, is it East Orange, New Jersey?
East Orange, New Jersey, which is 14 miles straight shot from New York. So like, I'm guessing the center because I didn't have an address. So who knows? Far it is from where they were.
Yeah.
And she said the marriage license place closed at 5:30. We're guessing she probably left around then.
Yeah.
It would take to walk about approximately 14 miles. It would take 3 hours and 30 minutes at a normal rate, 4 hours and 30 minutes at a relaxed rate. And then she said she spent an hour to come back on the train. So their math is wrong.
The math's not mathing. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be around 10. But anyway.
Yeah.
That's a long walk. I mean,
traumatizing.
Do you walk when you're.
When I'm feeling.
Like, yeah. When you're like sad or frustrated. Because that's a big thing. Like.
Not like this.
People will like go and walk in these old time.
Well, it helps that I have a couple of dogs and they, you know, I do take them out for walks and it does help.
So you have to walk.
Well, yeah, you have to, but also when I don't have to, I do because it's a stress reliever, I believe. And you know, maybe some people don't like to walk, but I don't think I could do that. What
you Lucy know also did. Is a stress reliever?
Hmm.
Milk.
She's referring to our Desi Arnaz biography in English. I think it's episode 2 or 3 of our cluster. Thank you.
I'm just trying to bring it up so that people don't forget.
I don't think they forget.
So we can sell those shirts. Milk deer.
Sugar deer.
In a heart.
Right. And so she did do that. So she looks in a trance when she comes back to the apartment. You know, she looks like she's been through hell and back, really. And so he feels too horrible to really tell her, you know, what's happening.
Like he tries to start to tell her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she just keeps talking over him. But then she
says, I know what you're trying to tell me. I know you're trying to tell me you love me and it doesn't matter what our status is and that, you know, you'd marry me or something like that.
Uh-huh. That's not what he's trying to tell
you. That's not what he's trying to tell you. But he doesn't tell her, which he should have. We could have avoided all of this. Again, I say that every episode.
Second half of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, he could have just not played the trick on her and then voila,
even no more episode. Drama.
Anyways, she decides to leave because she can't spend the evening with
a man she's not married
to. Ricardo.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And this, again, I'm so confused. Ricky then gets mad at Fred.
He's you gotta like, have
you
a
had
friend.
To have a friend. And I was like,
sir, this is you.
Anything. Yeah, this is 100% you, sir. Like,
and so she's like, why are you leaving? And, you know, my dear Mr. Ricardo, surely you don't expect me to sleep here. You're a bachelor, remember? And
we skipped all the part about them going to Connecticut, though.
No, I was still talking about her leaving downstairs. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I wouldn't skip Connecticut. It is the rest of the episode. And so
we did skip.
Yeah. So she says, I want to do everything all over again, starting with a proposal, you know. And so she says, so you mean we have to drive all the way up to Connecticut? to the Byram River Beagle Club, you know, and so he's really not looking forward to that because he has rehearsal in the morning. So I'm guessing Connecticut to there is quite a distance. I think it's 125 miles.
Actually, only 30 miles.
Yeah, it turns out to be only 30, but he says 125 miles.
Well, you've got
to
make it
exaggerated. And so, you know, during all this time, it's like, why not just tell her the truth? I mean, it's a lot. And so that's when she says, you know, she's going downstairs to sleep at the Mertz's apartment. And then the next morning is when they're already, I'm assuming, in Connecticut between the trees, which is one of the first couple of times we ever see them outdoors like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're in a concrete jungle.
Yes, they are city people.
You didn't mention the she's nuts.
Oh, the Spanish.
Not the Spanish person. Yeah,
the Spanish person. I feel attacked.
Probably.
Yeah, you're right. No, she says, we've been married for 10 years and each year this woman gets crazier and crazier. And it's all condensed to she's nuts, which is really, really funny.
Which is funny. Say it a little bit of the background again.
Just oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I love that.
Desi was in New York. He's appearing in nightclubs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Lucy was appearing or promoting for a film. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have a whole lot of time. And so Desi had to perform that night. And so they went back to New York City, and he carried Lucy over the threshold of his dressing room. Audience threw rice at them, like on stage, which is kind of cute. But then they had a second wedding ceremony June 19th, 1949, which is you were talking about. It was a Catholic wedding.
Right.
So they had a real.
And that was
there were air quotes there when I said real. Wedding,
right, and that was done because Lucy was struggling to have children, and so Desi Arnaz's mother was convinced that it was because they had got married in a Catholic ceremony. So after they did, she did become pregnant 5 months later, which is kind of cool. Did you have rice thrown at your wedding?
No, I don't want things on me.
Is that antiquated? By the way, is that an antiquated thing? Do people still do that?
But we also had a very not normal wedding, so maybe people do, but most of the ones I've been to, I have not thrown wedding or rice at people.
Mm-hmm. Remember that? I think it's Ricky who asked him during job switching, "What do you know about rice?" To Fred, he says, "It was staring at me in one of the darkest days of my life." He's so miserable.
Oh, so we're gonna get to the proposal, right?
The proposal's the best.
Can you tell me about your proposal?
Yes.
Good story.
Oh, it was cute. It was unexpected, but kind of cute because my daughter was involved. She was 7 at the time, and I share a birthday with my husband, so it was our birthday. We were having some sort of dinner, perhaps, I think. And then he sat my daughter on his lap and she was holding the ring. And that's when he asked in front of my parents. I'm like, oh, that's sweet.
Oh,
that was it. That was cute. Yeah.
That's cute.
How about you?
Oh, my husband proposed to me under the tree where we first kissed. And it would have been much, much cuter if that tree wasn't in the parking lot of my apartment building. I was like,
I was picturing this scene with Lucy and Ricky, and it's not that. It's
I was like, we just were unfortunate to have our first kiss in a not romantic place.
No, listen.
So the thought was romantic.
The thought is romantic. Yes. It meant something to both of you.
Exactly.
And that's what matters. Even if it was the parking lot of a Home Depot, it's okay.
It wasn't a Home Depot. What?
So they're in Connecticut between trees on a bench. And I love they're struggling to fit in there. They're like, it must have come in a little on each side. No, we've grown out a little on each side.
To be fair, the trees would have grown in the time that they were not.
Would have.
They would have.
Yeah.
Trees don't just stop growing.
So they don't, so she packed they don't. So she packed a picnic basket. And she took his wallet.
Didn't even want to eat it. love how he wants to just eat right away.
And I love that she's, he said, what do you want to start with? Like a grilled cheese or peanut butter, I think it was. And then she says, you know, when we were here last time, you said, I want to feast on your beauty. And she says it all romantically. And he goes, oh yeah, I want to feast on your beauty. Anyway,
so like rummaging around.
And so, yeah, she says, I want to start with a proposal. And, you know, it's very unromantic. No. And so like, he wants like,
the ground is wet.
She wants him to get on his, you know, I'm sure it was natural the first time. Now it's all plotted and planted or planned. So of course it's not going to come off the same. It's almost like an arranged marriage the way it's coming across. And so Lucy, I love you madly. And then he has to repeat it. Lucy, I can't live without you. And then he repeats it. I forget what the rest is. I don't think it's the, do you want to marry
me? There's one other thing.
Yeah, there's one other thing.
Will you marry me?
Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't ask. But at
that, he balks, right? He's like, well.
Yeah, but he's a
big decision.
See, here's the thing. He's gone this far. He's made this mess. And he continues to do it by messing with her during the proposal. And so he doesn't want to propose because he says he doesn't want to rush into anything. And so she gets really upset and just ruins the entire thing. Yeah, just ruined the entire moment.
She's like,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And he's still on his knees. No, no, let me propose. Let me do it. You know,
she says she's going to go back to what name again?
Esmeralda. McGillicuddy.
McGillicuddy, yeah.
Thank you. I had a spell.
I just wanted to see.
I don't know why I struggle with that. You think I so he's, you know, then the when she's running off because she's really upset, you know, his basket opens up kind of like the same way that the baby delivery day when the suitcase pops open, sort of thing. And she it takes off. And so the next scene is at the Eagle Hotel because they run out of gas in the car. Now, where did this car come from? Because they never acknowledge that they're renting the car. They don't see it. Just random car. Well,
they don't acknowledge the trip up there at all. So they could have just transported there. Maybe they used some of that Star Trek technology and just...
That's exactly. Not till later.
It wasn't later. You're right. You're right.
And so they don't have a car, especially because they're in New York, in the heart of New York, where they use the subway or they, you know, taxis.
Maybe one of the band members had one.
And so, yeah, they don't have a car in season one. Perhaps it was rented, but the mystery vehicle was. What is it? Cost $3.25 to fully gas it. $3.25 to fill up the entire tank.
It's like $3.95 for 1 gallon now.
That's where you're at. We're at $6.50 in California. So,
oh lordy,
can you imagine what that drive to Connecticut would have done to to Ricky today? Mm-mm. So they sign into. You know, she's upset because they only made it as far as the Eagle Hotel. And they're trying to, I guess, stay there. So
yes, they ran out of gas. We say that.
Yeah.
And we said that he didn't have his wallet.
Right. Sorry, because she
took it out.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to recreate that. But this is where we meet
Mr. Bert Willoughby.
Willoughby, who is played by Arving Bacon. He's a minor character actor, and he appeared in hundreds of films. You know, as like a small town blue collar worker most of the time. Pretty similar to the character that he plays here. You know, he was in It Happened One Night, You Can't Take It With You, and Gone with the Wind. He was also in 7 films. That Lucille Ball was in.
Mm-hmm.
In 1939, he made 35 films. He was in 35 films.
Yeah. I'm guessing they were probably all small one-liners or perhaps background.
You know, but that's still, it's still cool, you know, have that name, you know, like I was in there. And then he also returned to I Love Lucy as Ethel's father, Will Potter, in season 4, episode 15, Ethel's Hometown.
I love that episode.
He's also only 8 years older than Vivian Vance, though.
Which is funny.
Yeah. And because she's married to someone so much older than. Anyways, he passed away 3 weeks before his last TV appearance, which was an episode of The Dick Van Dyke Show, which was also a show run by Desi Lee Productions, mm-hmm. on February 24th, 1965.
So, of course, when he comes in, what makes this character hilarious is that he is pretty much every part of that town.
Yes. Did you write them all down?
I did not. He starts off by being the gas attendant, I'm assuming?
Fire chief.
Remember, okay.
Because he wakes up, he said, I heard the alarm, I saw the red.
And your hair! The way he laughs at her hair, that's hilarious.
And then he's the gas station attendee.
Okay.
The innkeeper, manager of the place, the bellboy, the sheriff, and then the justice of the peace.
So he's all those. Wanting to, or she is one, they are wanting to sign into the hotel for, you know, overnight. And so I think he said it was $8 for the couple to stay. $4. I'm saying for both of them to stay.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's dealing with money because, of course, she took out his wallet. And so she counts out only four because she slams it on the desk,
yeah,
for herself.
Ricky tries to have them together to just get one room. And
oh, yes, she writes.
No. And she crosses out Mr. and Mrs.
And writes
Ricardo and writes
McGillicuddy.
McGillicuddy. See, now you're going to make me say it wrong.
And so, you know, she says, oh, why would I want to stay with you if you don't even want to marry? I'm not married to you. And because she's still upset about this proposal that did not happen. And so he's like, good girl for crossing out the cad's name.
The cad.
Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, ends up going up to her room. He forgot the
blatant advertising.
Oh my God, I wrote it down too. Yes, I did. Call for Philip, and then he can't remember the last name. Yes.
I hear it all the time, but I can't ever remember his last name.
The massive blatant advertising right in your face. But yes, he has the bellboy outfit on this time.
Yeah,
and because, yeah, it's the same, mascot's her character for the Philip Morris, which of course was the sponsor for I Love Lucy. And then they go up to the room.
Well, Lucy does. Yeah.
Lucy does, with the bellboy. And Ricky stays downstairs sleeping in the lobby on the chair.
Oh, that looks so uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
My back hurt just looking at it.
And so then she comes down the next morning. I love how she wakes him up by kicking him in the leg.
I was like, oh, she's still mad.
Yeah.
And so then Mr. Willoughby comes back in. He's filled up the car, but Lucy refuses to pay for the gas. And this brings another. What does Ricky say here? He says something in Spanish, because then Mr. Willoughby's going to think he's speaking Russian.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I have that here. Well, he's trying to explain the scenario of what happened. He's trying to tell them that he told Fred to tell his friend, to tell Lucy, that it's no good. So he's trying to explain that scenario to both of them. So he's saying, let me explain what happened. And then suddenly he got so flustered, it's probably easier for him to do it in Spanish. So when he goes off and rambles in Spanish, he goes, ha ha, you know, you're a spy, a Russian spy. And she's like, no, that's not Russian, that's Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And then he says, we licked him in 98, we can do it again. And yes, he is talking about the Spanish-American War of 1898.
Yes.
What Ricky's leaving, or like trying to leave. The sheriff is there, right?
The sheriff appears, yes.
He appears. Ricky's like, well, I would marry her, but she won't marry me.
By the way, when we say the sheriff appears, it's just Mr. Willoughby changing his hat. Yeah, changes his hat. So, yeah.
As Lucy says, the real money in this town is selling hats.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's funny. Yeah. And so she's saying, because he won't marry me. And she's like, why won't you marry her? I would, but she won't marry me. So, yeah, it's kind of a back and forth there.
Yeah, make it her fault. so then Mr. Willoughby's like, well, I just so happen to know the Justice of the Peace, and maybe he'd be willing to do it for free.
Right.
And of course, he's the Justice of the Peace. And so Lucy runs upstairs. Ricky asks Ricky asks Lucy to marry him, but not before we see Mrs. Willoughby.
Oh, wait. Well, she's like, well, I'm not going to marry you until you propose. And yes. He's like, in front of Mr. Willoughby? He says, yes. And so he's getting ready to, and she's like, wait, hold on. Let me, get Mrs. Willoughby, who's Elizabeth Patterson, who's very familiar to I Love Lucy viewers as Mrs. Trumbull.
Yep.
It was about a year later where she did return for the recurring role of Mrs. Trumbull, next door neighbor, little Ricky's babysitter. And she was actually the daughter of a Confederate soldier. They call her Patty. She started making films in 1926 with The Boyfriend, in which she recreated the role she played on Broadway the year before when it was called The Book of Charm. And she appeared in 26 Broadway plays, which is crazy. She also appeared in 1941 film Tobacco Road, which I've also heard mentioned about Lucy. I just don't forget in which episode. Featured her co-star in this episode, Irving Bacon. She died in 1966 at the age of 90. So yeah, she's the sweet old lady who takes care of Ricky when they run out at little Ricky. Actually, she gets annoyed with his crying at one point. And then she falls in love with him.
Yeah.
Starts being his babysitter. So he calls her. He calls her mother, but it's actually his wife.
Yes.
And comes down to watch him propose, and it's sweet. And
hello, is it because she's Mrs. Willoughby standing right in between?
They're right in his face. She's like this.
Go ahead, propose. Don't mind me.
So she accepts and is like, yay! And so she's like, she says, "I'll be right back," because she wants it to be just like
it was. It already hasn't, but.
No, nothing. No, nothing's gone to plan.
She brought her wedding dress, so she's going to put it on, dang it.
Although kudos to her for fitting into her wedding dress 10 years later.
Didn't we already have an episode where she didn't fit into like something from the past? Mm-hmm. Didn't we already debunk that? So she had it tailored.
My.
She knew this day was coming.
So she comes down really looking beautiful in a wedding dress, and she's got a bouquet of flowers too. He looks at her and probably realizes, I really didn't need to do this to this woman. I mean, it's just very unnecessary.
And he asks her in like a more real way, will you marry me?
In a more natural, like real way.
Sincere, yeah. Which is really cute.
Mm-hmm. She said, yes, of course. And yeah. And so Mrs. Willoughby
starts helping them with rice.
No, the singing.
Oh no, the singing. You're right.
Are you kidding me? That was the best part. She sings the song "I Love You Truly," and they're all staring at her. And that song was written by Carrie Jacobs Bond and first published in 1901. It was sung in the film "It's a Wonderful Life" from 1946, and frequently heard on TV. It was one of the earliest songs composed by a woman to sell over 1 million copies. So "I Love You Truly" turned out to be a hit. Your eyes.
That was Erica.
Thank you.
Sorry, I started laughing. If you watch this, you'll see that I started losing my composure at Carrie's name, and not because it's that funny, but because my nerd head was like, you can call me Jacob.
That's funny.
Okay, I'm really tired, guys. Anyways,
it's been a long day.
The slap happy.
And so
she's singing quite poorly.
Now she wants to go into the second verse, and they're like,
"Oh, drat!"
They're trying to do this. Like,
I gotta go.
Yeah, and so Mr. Willoughby cuts her off, and she says, "Was it darn it or something?" Where she
can't, drat or something. I think it's like drat. Oh, drats.
Yeah, and so she can't sing, and so she sings that she stops singing. They do get married. They do vows.
They do get. You don't see it.
Okay.
It's obviously
fast forward a little
cuts
bit.
It cuts to them getting ready to go. And this is where I love where she's rice. Like, wait a minute, we forgot something. Yeah. She runs around and gets the rice and starts pelting them with this rice.
That would really bother me, though. It's like right in my ear, you know, my hair, because it's little and tiny even grains. Like,
nice little, it's like right into their.
And she's so close to her.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
So then the sheriff comes back. Why couldn't he have said, he knew he could have said something sooner. But he was like, is this your car parked out there? And Ricky's like, you know that it is. Like,
again, we're obviously we have to point out that this are just two people that live in this hotel.
I was going to be like, it's the we're the only people here. It's probably like a gas station in a hotel in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Just run it. Anyways,
every girl in town.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So he wants $10.
$10 or 10 days.
Because he kept a car there for 12 hours in a 1 hour zone. And so he looks, he says, so you're going to jail. And she's like, we don't have any money. I don't have my wallet. Right. She's out of money. And so, you know, I guess they're going to take him in.
It's like, nope, go ahead. Go ahead. Don't worry about it. And Mr. Willoughby's like, wait, you forget you're talking to the sheriff.
And father, you're father. Forgetting.
I'm the mayor.
Yeah. Pats her
which
head.
I love. Mm-hmm. And she puts that top hat. The hat on. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the because then the he's saluting her and the two run out of the building, like, okay, let's get out of here before something crazy happens.
Those two live an interesting life, the Willoughbys.
Yes.
Playing different roles in that town. But yeah, that's that episode.
It's a really good episode.
It was cute.
Annoying.
It's annoying, but what I love is that they incorporate a lot of real life details into things like the Byram River Beagle Club and Connecticut.
And we didn't talk about this, but she mentions that, you know, she wouldn't marry or she'd marry Xavier Cugart before him or something like
that's
that.
That's right. I wouldn't marry
you. In this show, he's like the rival. He's Ricky's rival, basically. Right. When he gets kicked out of the Tropicana for asking for a raise, that's who replaces him, right?
Xavier Cugart.
But in real life, you know, we've talked about this before, and maybe you did in the Spanish episode. Yes. But they were very close.
He worked
was a
for
mentor.
Him.
And right. He was... Well, yeah, he was an employee, but also I think.
Oh, yes.
Definitely a mentor.
Oh, he taught
definitely
him.
A very strong bond between the two of them. So
he taught him a lot about the business. Desi Arnaz we're speaking of. He taught him a lot about the business, the you know, orchestra business, the band business and how to put on shows. So, you know, even though he famously says that Xavier Cugart didn't pay him enough, he says, but what he what he did do is kind of. Teach him, take him to school
give him
without
that, yeah, that give knowledge. Him that basis. Of,
so that
yeah.
was worth all the, which is something I've also heard Lucille Ball say a lot, that she didn't care what she was doing in Hollywood, but she was just like a sponge, you know,
doing
anything and everything. And I think that's what made her so, you know, driven and successful, and both of them really. So that was that episode. Would you say it's one of your favorites?
I think it's not one of my least favorite, like it's definitely not on my list that I don't like, but I don't think it makes one of my favorites. What about you?
I like seeing Lucy in wedding dresses. That's always fun.
Yeah,
that's always fun. Sweet.
We didn't talk about that. We see her marry him in this episode, mm-hmm. and then we see it in Forever Darling and in
The Long Long Trailer.
The Long Long Trailer, of course.
She's a newlywed, and then Yours,
stunning.
Mine, and Ours.
Mm-hmm.
She wears that blue one that she also wore to marry Gary Morton, that blue dress. I mean, she's just her in a wedding
getting
dress
married
is great.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Left and right.
That was fun.
We'll be doing another episode. I don't know what next week will be because it could either be an episode or it can be
a special bonus. Yeah.
Special bonus.
So not only are we doing the, episode by episode, which is, really what we started doing, we'll be doing special separate ones too. Like Ziva's going to start doing some probably interviews or just other subjects that have something to do with Desilu, I think, right?
Yeah, the plans for now is to do a few episodes on some of the shows that Desilu Productions either filmed or directed.
Yeah, or, yeah, that produced or that were like associated with Desilu.
Right, exactly. Because there's a lot of them, and it'd be fun to look at some of them.
Yeah, so that's probably, you know, so that's why we don't always say it's that one of these episodes is going to be next, because we really
don't. We don't know.
We don't know. Just random. But thanks, guys, for listening. And find us everywhere. We are in a galaxy far, far away. We are on havingaballpod@gmail.com, havingaballpod on Instagram, havingaballpodcast on Facebook and YouTube. Find us there.
Wonderful. Thanks. That's good. Thank you so much.
So awkward. Bye, guys.